Great, guys. It's good to be here this morning. Beautiful weather, beautiful day, amazing worship, beautiful words as we all together here on Father's Day. How the father's feeling? That's a big yawn, Wolves. Are you tired? There we go. At times it's tough being a father. So many responsibilities. Amen. Let's start off with a word of prayer. Father, as we look into your word this morning, Father, we just pray that your word does something special in each one of our hearts. God, you know what's in our hearts. You know our thoughts. You know our actions. And I pray, God, this morning, that the scripture that we can look at, this piece of these verses, God, will do something incredible, will either convict us, will encourage us, will put a light on in our hearts, God, will draw us closer to you in a relationship with you. I just pray so much for this, God. I thank you, God, for your church. I thank you, God, for every father here this morning and just their hearts, their service, their love for you, their love for their spouses, their love for their grandchildren. God, they are very, very special. And God, I know that you look at them and appreciate them so, so much. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. You can switch on the lights here, please. It's a bit dark. Thanks. If you could turn with me to Luke chapter 15. So we're going to be looking at Luke chapter 15. And being a godly father is a lifetime, guys, of hard work and effort. And we cannot do it on our own. Is we need each other, but more importantly, we need God's grace and we need the Holy Spirit to guide us and to help us. I'm so grateful for my dad, and I'm so grateful that he's here this morning. Dad, yes. I'm your son. Here I am. Appreciate you so much. Love you so much. Thank you for all the hard times and the way that you had to put me right. But thank you so much for your love too. Just really do appreciate you so, so much. I love being a father. I really do. It's such a gift. I love being a dad. I love being a dad to Linz and Charles and to their two amazing men. And I love being a granddad. That's even a bit more. That's like so special too. It's such an honor. And I'm so drawn to scriptures and stories from God's word that speak about fathers. And that's what we're going to look at this morning. We're going to look at a scripture that speaks about dads and lessons from a dad, which is important. But just to understand what the story is about in Luke chapter 15, it's important to understand what Jesus is saying here. And as we listen to the story this morning, told by Jesus, and he speaks about his father being the dad. But it's very helpful to understand what has happened in the two parables just before the third one. So in Luke chapter 15, I'm just going to start off here by reading verse 1 and 2. It says, "Now the tax collectors and the sinners were all gathering around to hear Jesus. But the Pharisees and teachers of the law muttered, 'This man welcomes sinners and eats with them.'" And it's so important to understand what these three parables are about, because these three parables have one thing in common, is that Jesus mingles with the sinners, and that we all sinners, and Jesus loves it when a lost sinner comes back to him. And that's what he's saying here. And the Pharisees are sort of up in arms. And it even speaks about that he's not just mingling with them, but he's eating with them. He's spending time with them, conversing with them, having a relationship with them. And then he tells these three parables: the parable about the lost sheep, the parable about the lost coin, and the parable about the lost son. And he's basically helping us to understand that sin separates us from God. And each one of these parables are so special because he sort of said, man, he loves it. His heart is so much for us when a sinner is brought back to a deep relationship with God. And that's what we're going to look at this morning. And this is actually a parable, not just about the lost son, but I think it's a parable about the father's heart. It's a parable about dad's heart. It's a parable that we can learn some incredible lessons from this morning. So let's read in Luke chapter 15, verse 11. There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, "Father, give me my share of the estate." So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in the whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country, who sent him to the fields to feed pigs. Can you believe this? He then longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, "How many of my father's hired hands have food to spare? And here I am starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, 'Father, I've sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.' So he got up and went to his father. But while he is still a long way off, the father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. The son said to him, 'Father, I've sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to the servant, 'Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger, sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For the son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' So they began to celebrate. Meanwhile, the oldest son was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of his servants and asked him, 'What's going on?' 'Your brother has come,' he replied, 'and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has him back safe and sound.' The older brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, 'Look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders. Yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when the son of yours who squandered your property with prostitutes comes home, you killed the fattened calf for him.' 'My son,' the father said, 'you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we have to celebrate and be glad, because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.'" My first point this morning: a father hurts. And all we need to do is just imagine this story. Imagine coming to your father and saying, "Dad, I want half of our wealth now. And the dad just hands it out. And within a week, he's gone with all the wealth. And he's gone to live life to the full through his lens, that he knows what life is about. And we read in this story here that the Father actually gives us freedom. And the Father gives us a free will to choose what we want in life. We can choose. Everyone in this room here can choose what they want in life. Nothing is forced upon you. And you may think it is, but nothing's forced upon you. You have freedom. And we need to understand the truth from this story is that God hurts when you and I know better about our lives. We know better with what we want from our lives and the way that we want to live our lives. And at times we may want a bit of God or a lot of God in our lives, but we actually know better. And our Father hurts. There's a lot of emotion in this. You don't just read God's word, read the words that are red and read the words that are black. You have to read into it. That the Father hurts, and you can see the Father hurting, because what was the Father's action and how did the Father live his life when his son left? He didn't just live his life, well, the son's gone. Let me invest in the older son that's hardworking compared to my younger son. And there are parents who know exactly what this is like. They hurt because their children have chosen another way and they've left home, and at times they throw the love of the parents aside to live their life. And if you and I are to plug ourselves into this story, I sit here this morning examining my own life. When I want to live my life the way that I want to live my life, I'm hurting my Father and I'm hurting God. And this parable is for each one of us. For us to look at our lives and for us to look at the love of the Father. God never forces us to obedience. He wants you to want it. He wants you to need Him. He wants you to have an amazing relationship with Him. But He won't make you stay in the family either. And you have your own free will to live out your life. Guys, it's Father's Day, and great fathers matter. They really do matter in this world. And here are some stats about great fathers mattering. And these are stats from the States. 63% of suicides are from fatherless homes. 85% of children that exhibit behavioral disorders are from fatherless homes. 80% of convicted rapists have grown up in fatherless homes. 71% of teen school dropouts are from fatherless homes. 75% of youth that are involved in drug abuse are from fatherless homes. 70% of juveniles in state institutes are from fatherless homes. 85% of youngsters in prison are from fatherless homes. 70% of teen pregnancies are from fatherless homes. Now, if your kids were getting those results at school, it would be pretty awesome. Like, whoa, my kids are bright. Look at that. Some good A's there, some good B's. Like, it's amazing. But we're reading this through a lens of, like, fathers matter. It's God's plan. It's God's incredible plan that we matter. And the way we live our lives is so important. The responsibility that we take for the families that God's blessed us with is so crucial, is so important, because this world is broken. And God wants us to live it His way and to please Him. And if you're a youth here this morning, I see some of you at the back. Read this. Put it on your hearts. Weep inside because of this. We should all be weeping inside, because it's like, oh my goodness, God's given us this role that He wants us to live. Children grow up without a father because of many reasons. Men often abandon children born out of wedlock. Others walk away and search for greener pastures in life. And I know that you fathers are not like that. And you fathers here this morning are faithful to your wives. And that's important to God. Today, the problem in most Christian homes is that fathers may be physically present, but emotionally absent. And I think this is a pandemic. They are present. They are most probably better than their fathers have been to them. But they're emotionally absent. They provide, which is what God wants us to do, the best education, the best opportunities, extramurals. They strive to be the best that they can, but they got no time in their busy schedules to be emotionally connected to their children, and maybe even to their spouse. No time. And I want to encourage and challenge you this morning that in 10 to 15 years' time from now, it's not going to matter what you've achieved. But what is going to matter is how connected are you to your children when they've left home. Because in 10 to 15 years' time, they won't be at home. Unless you're lucky like me when they left and they came back. Which I feel very blessed with. Particularly when they come back with an extra grandson. Because that's exciting. You know, and that's what's more important than anything else. It really is more important than anything else. Did you take time out to talk? Did you take time out to laugh? Did you take time out to walk? Did you ask the questions? Did you have a mud fight? Did you sit by a stream? Did you build a tree house with them? Did you play with their toys? No time to be connected. Our children don't need the best. I can tell you that now. They don't need the best school. They don't need the best varsity. They don't need the best extra things, whatever it is. They need present parents more than anything else. More than anything else, that they're yearning for that because of the stress and pressure that they're going through at school. They need you more than anything else. Money can't buy that. You're not the first parent to raise children. There have been many that have gone before you. Get advice. Be humble. Seek advice. So that God's Spirit can be in your house and you can lead them the right way. Now, there's signs of not being emotionally connected with your children. And research has shown, and here are some of the signs. And maybe you'll see some of these things, whether you're a parent or not. This is important for the whole church. It's so important for each one of us. You know, what are the signs? Avoidance is one of the most important things. And it's when those kids become teens. Before they're teens, they just want to be around you. But they start to avoid spending time with you. The time that you spend with them frequently breaks out into arguments, breaks out into fights. There's often negative comments, sarcasm that comes out, and they can be a bit rude, and you like, oh my goodness, what must I do? They can become withdrawn. That when you're trying to do something for the family, they're totally withdrawn. Increased irritability, mood swings, expressing anger through actions, walking out when you're speaking to them, slamming the door behind, avoidance of deep conversations, that your conversations are so superficial, there's no depth to it. And complaining about feeling unheard and not validated. And these are important things. And so emotional connection, guys, is crucial. And if you're wanting to be a great parent, it's like we have to lean in and learn is how do I get emotionally connected with my children? Because if you don't, this world is going to hurt them. It's going to be a harder place to raise them. And I think Jesus in this parable shows us his heart. Got 5 points this morning. That was the first point. The next four will be a lot smoother, and we're going to go through it. And I believe there's something in this message for every person. If you walk out of this and it's like, well, nothing impacted me, well, maybe read the passage yourself and allow the Holy Spirit to impact you. So the first thing is the father hurts. And very often we read this and we're so focused on the sons. Don't be like the sons. But what about the father's heart? The father must have cried daily, maybe weekly. You read into it. The second point this morning is a father's incomparable love. And I love this so much. I really do, because your son can be like that. And I think I was a bit like that to my dad. He gave me so much and wanted me to be a farmer, and I gave it up and I walked away to follow God. And I could see the hurt in his life. But years later, he's like, son, you made the best choice in your life. You made that best choice. And here the Father's incomparable love is just so, it's just so incredible, because in verse 20 it says, while he was still a long way away, the Father saw him. So just read into that. While he was still a long way away, the Father saw him. You know the way that your children walk. You know the limp in their left knee. You know the way they carry their shoulders. You know them so well. While you were still a long way away, and a lot of folk must have walked along that road to the farmhouse, the Father saw him and filled with compassion for him, he ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. There's no handshake. There's no formal, hi Bruce, how you doing? There was deep emotion, compassion, running, threw his arms around, a kiss. It was beautiful. And this is that incredible love that the Father has had for his son. It's so beautiful. And we notice four things about the Father's heart here, because this is revealing to us the heart of God. This is the Father's heart. And we see the Father's heart here, you know, he was looking for him. Vigilant, he was looking for his son. Continuously, the son was always on his heart. He was filled with that compassion. Those thoughts never left his mind. He was devoted to his son in his thoughts, in his prayers, in thinking about him, in remembering him. There was nothing or no one more important than his son that was lost. And it's just like, it's so amazing, because that's the heart of God. God is looking. God is waiting. You are always on God's heart. You never leave God's thoughts. There is nothing more important, you know, to the Father than you are, your soul. Nothing more important. The son doesn't receive the love of the Father because he deserves it, because of his life's merits, because of living a respectful life that he had earned it. The Father's love is unmerited, undeserving, unearned. It's extravagant, unconditional. It's freely given. It's amazing how the Father just gives this love out to his son that had pulled his name down and asked for his inheritance as if the father was no longer alive. And that wouldn't have gone down well in the culture of the time. Today it may go down all right, but in the culture of the time, it wouldn't have gone down well. Of Jesus with our children, with our spouses, with the family of God, how do we model it? My third point this morning is a father's amazing acceptance. Wow, this is incredible. A father's amazing acceptance. Have you ever prepared like a speech to your parents when you were naughty? And you knew that they knew that you were naughty, But you know you have to almost go and confess and say that you're sorry. And your parents are waiting. And they're waiting in expectation, and the parents are talking with each other, and they know it all, and you're not even aware of that. And, you know, and here we just see this amazing father's acceptance. And we see this in verse 21. It says, the son is preparing to give his speech. He's preparing this incredible speech for his father. But we notice that even when he starts off his speech, the father sort of interrupts and just shows him this incredible love. Son, stop your speech. I see your heart. You've come back. There's change, there's repentance, but I want to just show you my incredible love. And we take notice of the father's response. And the father's response is quickly. Those working for me, quickly. We need to prepare something. And his response is like, whoa, just overflowing from his heart. And the word of God says, but the father said to his servant, quick, bring the best robe, put it on him, put a ring on his finger, sandals on his feet, bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and let's celebrate. Bring the best robe, put it on him. This was a sign of honor. It showed his appreciation, his acceptance, his approval. Put a ring on his finger. This is a clear sign of restoration. I'm restoring him back to the family that he was part of. Put sandals on his feet. That you're not just a hired person here, but you're part of the family. We're going to put sandals on your feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. They didn't eat meat every day. It was only on special occasions. To bring the fattened calf was like, wow, I'm opening up everything. I'm giving the best. And the question is why? Because God says, because there's nothing more important in the world to me than my child. He was dead and is now alive. And I want you to think now about the power of being loved and accepted by God. Just think about that. Think about the power of being loved and you being so, and God being so accepting of you. This is not a story of someone being rejected by God because they blew it. It's a story of God's incredible love and acceptance of a person who comes back, humbles themselves, has changed, and God just opens up. And that's what this is a story of. And that leads me into the fourth point this morning, a father's incredible forgiveness. The human journey is sadly marked by hurts, resentments, unfulfilled expectations. It's the way of the world. But Jesus shows us in this story and by his life that this is not the way of the Father. Forgiveness is big. To know that our failures are not final, that we can be set free from guilt and condemnation is incredible. The son in the story didn't deserve forgiveness, but he was forgiven. And God, who is rich in mercy, forgave him. We are justified before him and made righteous. That's what the word of God says when we come before him with repentant hearts. And God's forgiveness is full and it's final. The word of God says that the youngest son came to his senses. And maybe that word is most probably linked with metanoia, I presume. You know, it's like mentally coming to your senses. Wow, I need to change my life. I've performed wrong in my life. I'm so sorry. God, I've not only sinned against heaven, but I've sinned against you. And that's a way that we need to see our lives. It's like, yes, we sin against God, but please forgive me for the sin that I've sinned against you. And we notice that the older brother is upset about his father celebrating his younger brother. And yet the father reassures the older son of his love and what he's given him. There is a danger. And we see this here because the older son says, I have obeyed you every order. I've done everything for you. I've obeyed you. Obedience without a transformed heart leads to resentment. If you're just obeying because it's a good thing to obey, because the word of God says obey and you need to obey, but if there's no change of heart, it leads to resentment. And that's what you see in the older son's heart and what comes out of his heart. And even the stories that he makes out of his heart that may not be true. And you can go and find some of those as you study this passage yourself. Both hearts of the sons were challenged to change. And their hearts, both of their hearts were revealed. And yet the father in this story is just like our Heavenly Father. He does not miss the opportunity to prove his love, acceptance, and forgiveness. It is genuine. It is joyful. And Jesus said, it is meant for you and for me as we come before him. And as I'm closing this morning, lessons from a dad from what we've just read. And these are the lessons that I learn and that I am learning and I have learned from what I've just read this morning. And the lessons from a dad. The first lesson is, your children will hurt you, as the youngest son hurt his father, and as the oldest son's reaction hurt the father too. But keep working on not responding badly to your hurt. And that's a lesson that we can learn from this. Because a father didn't respond badly to both of the sons' hurt that he received. The second is, I want to be a dad that meets my children with an embrace whenever I see them. Even before the word I'm sorry comes out of their mouths. And that's the heart of the father that we see here. The third lesson that I learn is, I want to be a dad that promotes unity in the family. The oldest son heard the sound of the party And when he found out what happened, he would not go inside to join the party. But the father went out to the son and talked about his brother, his younger brother, that he was dead and now is alive, was lost and is now found. The father does not dismiss the older brother or tell him how bad he is, but he wants the boys to see the value of each other that he sees in both of his sons. That's the dad that I want to strive for. And fourthly, I want to be a dad who celebrates the good in my children and not focused on their failures. In this parable, the father sees the good in the repentance of the younger brother and the good in the faithfulness and hard-working side of the older brother. And church, that's what I wanted to share with you this morning. And hopefully you can walk away with something that the Spirit of God is his unpacking, moving something in your heart, because this parable is just incredible. It's so rich. There's so much here. A father will hurt. A parent will hurt. A father's incomparable love, and that love that Jesus shows us here, that his father showed us. A father's amazing acceptance. Let's think about that in our own lives. A father's incredible forgiveness and lessons that we can learn as a dad. Let's pray for the Lord's